Morning. What an awesome song to sing just as we look at God's word. If you want to find your Bibles under your seats, and we're in Exodus 34, so if you turn to page 94 in your Bibles. Actually, it's Exodus 35. Sorry, Exodus 35, and we're looking at verses 4 through to 29. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and other types of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplates. All who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle with its tent and its coverings, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases, the ark with its poles and the anointed cover and the curtain that shields it, the table with its poles and all its articles and the bread of the presence, the lampstand that is for light with its accessories, lamps and oil for the light, the altar of incense with its poles, the anointing oil and the fragrance incense, the curtain of the doorway at the entrance to the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering and the bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the bronze basin and its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs for the tabernacle and for the courtyard and their ropes, the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons, when they will serve as priests." Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service, and for the sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen, or goat hair, ram skins dyed red, or other durable leather brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and bought what she had spun: blue, purple, or scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord free will offerings for all the work the Lord, through Moses, had commanded them to do. This is God's word, and we pray a blessing on Tim as he comes and speaks to us.
Thank you, Eva. Keep those pages open, if you would, as we consider these words over the next few minutes, but let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that your word is relevant today, just as it was when these events were recorded. And not just is it relevant, but your word is living. And so we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, would you speak to each one of us today? But as we consider your word, we pray, would you point us to your Son, our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask. Amen. It falls to my lot as the senior pastor. On a day when we consider giving in the church, to preach that sermon. You know, we live in a culture here, particularly in this country, don't we, where we don't like to talk about money. And when we do, we begin to squirm in our seats and feel a little bit uncomfortable and look at the floor rather than look at the preacher. And think, oh, this is getting a bit uncomfortable. Now, I've been blessed with the fact that I've had a number of years in business working directly with money. And so it feels less uncomfortable to me. So I hope I don't make it too uncomfortable for you. Because actually, I don't want to talk about money very much this morning. We're not going to get into the detail of that. And yes, whilst our prayer is that as we have this day of thanksgiving, where we have an opportunity particularly to give to the work of the Lord, I'm not going to talk too much about that either. And I'm not even going to try and persuade you to part with £1,000 in exchange for a hanky that I've blessed, or any other such similar charlatan practices. This is not about a guilt trip this morning. This is not about manipulation. If giving to the church as a response of this morning increases, and if the special machine, Fred's special machine out there, gets used multiple times after this service and later today as well, fantastic, and we give thanks to God for that. Because it's all based on the premise of this passage, that it is prompted by willing hearts that have been moved by God. Willing hearts who are responding in thankfulness for who God is and all that he has done through Christ. Before we dig into these verses a little bit, and as I say, I'm not going to go too deep in this, but let's just recap where we are in the story of the children of Israel here. God's people, the children of Israel, had become enslaved in Egypt. That was not the land that God had designed for them. That was not God's promised land for them. But because of circumstances, they found themselves there because of a desperate famine. And whilst they were there, God blessed them and he multiplied them incredibly. And when they left Egypt, they had all sorts of flocks and animals that they took with them and all sorts of other things, as we shall discover on the journey. But Exodus, but by the time you get to the beginning of Exodus, after 400 years in the land of Egypt, they had become enslaved to the pharaohs. But God heard the plight of his people. Exodus 3 tells us that God had seen their misery and heard their cry. So he sends them one who would help to deliver them from Egypt. Enter stage left, Moses. A man with a stammering tongue and little confidence in his abilities. But yet God miraculously and marvelously rescued the children of Israel through Moses and his brother Aaron. It wasn't easy. You'll remember the stories. Certainly Pharaoh didn't want to let them go, did he? But God appealed to Pharaoh through Moses. He said, "Let my son go so that he may serve me," or so that he may worship me. And because of Pharaoh's stubbornness of heart and hardness of heart, God brings those plagues on Egypt, doesn't he? You remember them, the gnats, the boils, the darkness, the water turned into blood, the frogs, and ultimately that final plague when the firstborn would be struck dead. And the only basis of safety for that final plague, the only basis of safety for God's people was to take a lamb, to kill it according to all the instructions that God gave, and then smear the blood on the lintel and down the doorposts, either side of the door. And so when the Israelites went through that doorway into their homes, they were protected by the blood of the Passover lamb. They were safe from God's judgment. Transfer that principle thousands of years, and it's still relevant for us today. That we can take protection under the shelter of the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the one who gave himself for us. And because of that, we can be safe from the judgment of God. Hallelujah. And as a result of this, as a result of the Passover lamb, the Israelites were able to escape from oppression, escape from the slavery. And even that journey was, you'll remember, was not easy. And we come to our passage today in Exodus 35, and there they are in the middle of the desert. And Moses had presented to them a blueprint that God gave to him on Mount Sinai. A blueprint of the way that they could worship God suitably, in a right way. A way that they could worship God and know his presence among them. With this whole system of the tabernacle, this tent that was erected wherever they went in the wilderness. And the camps, the way that they would camp as a people, they would camp all around this tent, which was the central point, the focal point for them, where they could know and experience the presence of God. Not only was it just this big tent, but there was all this beautiful furniture that was created as well. The priests were given particular clothing in order to serve. And in this chapter here, chapter 35 of Exodus, the Lord God commands the people to bring an offering from whatever they had. Gives you the sense, doesn't it? Whatever you can lay your hands on, go and rummage about in your tent, whatever you can lay your hands on, bring as an offering to our God. Now, as I've said, I'm not going to get into the detail of all the lists of everything and so on in this passage, but there are two main points that I want to draw from this section today. The first is this: this was to be a willing offering. Verse 5 tells us, "From what you have, take an offering from the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and so on." This was not the principle of law. This was not the 10% tithe, something to be carefully calculated and weighed out by the children of Israel. This was to be a willing offering. No priest's assistant standing over you, making sure that it had been measured and weighed properly to make sure you had the full 10% so that you were absolutely within the law. Not prescribed and designated by the commandments and therefore common to every single one of them. Because the laws of sacrifice and the offerings that were to be made were common to them all, and there was a prescription and it had to be adhered to. But not this. This was a free will offering. And they were to bring it willingly to God for the tabernacle to be built, so that they could worship God and know and experience his presence among them. But why were they so willing? How could Moses guarantee it was going to be a willing offering? Well, remember the backstory that I've shared with you. Remember the history of the children of Israel. They should have been a truly thankful people. There they were, having lived, some of them, for generations under the slavery of the pharaohs. And not who had no intention of making life easier for them. In fact, he made life more difficult. When they started to ask for help and assistance, he said, no, let them go and find their own straw to bake their bricks. And so more and more pressure was put on the children of Israel by the Pharaoh. It was not easy. And so when they had this remarkable and miraculous rescue performed by our God, surely their hearts should have been thankful. But not only that, not only God had saved them from slavery, but he'd released them to be able to get to the promised land. That place that he had promised for them, that place that was that had the sold sign stuck in the ground there, as it were. Why? Because it belonged to them, because God had given it to them. A place, as we learn a little bit later in the history and the story of it, a place that was flowing with milk and honey. A place where they had bunches of grapes, not by the plastic punnet, but so big it had to be carried between two of them on a pole. This was the land of plenty that God had in mind for his people. And now they were released to be able to go to this land. Surely their hearts should have been thankful. And even not only that, every day God would provide for them. In the dry dust of the desert and the rocky desert, where they couldn't find anything and could hardly grow their own stuff to keep themselves going, God provided for them with the manna. You know, there's a whole sermon we can do just on that alone, of course. But there was absolutely every reason for the people of Israel to be thankful to their God. And so to willingly bring an offering to God. But where would they get all this from? Remember, they're wandering around in the desert, a journey that took them 40 years, but actually should only have taken them 11 days. And they go round and round and round, and it was because of their own stubbornness, their own hardness of heart. So where on earth would they find the resources that they needed? There was going to be no B&Q in the desert on the Sinai Peninsula. No Amazon delivery drivers to bring the next day delivery from onlinejewelry.com. All that they had at their hands. Whatever you have, that's where it starts out here. Everyone who is willing to bring from what you have, take an offering for the Lord. So they willingly brought whatever they had. The possessions that they'd escaped with. From Egypt. And also remember, just before they were to leave Egypt, they were to spoil the Egyptians. They were to ask the Egyptians for silver, for gold, for clothing, and so on. And so they took that with them as well, as they were there ready with their sandals on their feet, ready to run, to escape under the mighty hand of God. And so they went with resources. And all those resources that they took were used for the construction of this amazing tabernacle system. They willingly brought it to the Lord. And verses 22 to 28 list some of the things that we have: the gold and the silver, the blue, purple, scarlet yarn and fine linen, the goat's hair, the ram skins dyed red, and so on and so on. But how did they know what to bring? If this wasn't a prescriptive offering, how did they know, should I bring this? Should I bring that? What should I bring to the table? It was to be as the Lord prompted their hearts. This is the second point this morning. Verse 21. Everyone who was willing and whose hearts moved them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service. This was not a calculated formula. This was not about thinking, do I tithe my gross income or my net income? What about my bonus? Should I tithe that as well? None of those calculations were involved here. This was about hearts that were in tune with God's heart. And as God moved their heart, so they responded in giving. So someone, maybe his name was Eli, I don't know. But someone would have had a few 2 meter lengths of 3x2 in acacia wood, reserved maybe for a building that he was going to put up in the promised land when they eventually got there. But God moved his heart to bring it for the tabernacle. Maybe someone else, Rachel perhaps her name was, had a beautiful set of gold earrings, been in the family for generations. We can't sell those, we can't get rid of those. Grandma will be most upset with us. But yet God moves Rachel's heart to bring it, to overlay all that furniture in the tabernacle system with pure gold, so that something of the glory of God will be seen there. Someone else might have had a beautiful, precious stone reserved for his girlfriend's engagement ring. By the way, I don't think they had engagement rings back then like we do today, but just bear with me on this. Reserved for his girlfriend's engagement ring. But God moved his heart to bring it for the work of the tabernacle, because that precious stone would be placed in the breastpiece that the high priest would wear as he entered into the presence of God, with the beauty adorned on him to demonstrate something of the 12 tribes of Israel, the full scope of God's dealings with his people, and by extension us as well, of course. And someone else might have had some jars of olive oil so that they could start a restaurant when they get to the promised land. But God moved their heart to bring it for the anointing oil for the priests. And so on. You get the picture that I'm describing here. But it was not just the physical things here that were brought. The clothing, the wood for the structures and for the furniture and all these things. It was not just that, but skills and abilities as well. Verses 25 and 26 tell us that those women skilled in spinning brought their talent to the table, as it were. We didn't read these verses, but the verses at the end of the chapter tell us of two men, Bezalel and Aholiab, and they brought their artistic gifting to create some of the beautiful aspects of the tabernacle system. But we're not focusing on that so much this morning. It's this principle that the children of Israel gave, firstly, willingly, and secondly, as God moved their hearts. As you read the narrative into the next chapter, what is described here is that the children of Israel, they brought what they had, and they continued to bring, and they continued to bring, and they continued to bring, until Moses had to say, stop, that's enough. Verse 7 of the next chapter says, what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Pray God we might be in that situation. But that's the principle here. Such was the heart of the people, moved by God in thankfulness for who he is, for all that he had done to rescue them and to take them on this journey to the promised land. And they were so filled with gratitude, so filled with thankfulness, that they willingly brought for the service of God. They willingly brought so this amazing tabernacle could be created in the midst of the desert, in which they could know the presence of God, or through which they could know the presence of God. So how do we apply this to ourselves today? I think this one should be fairly obvious, if you haven't got it already. I believe that applying this scripture to us today, we can say that God commands us to give freely. For this church and for the work of ministry through this local church and the wider church as well. That's how we can apply this, because this was to enable the children of Israel to meet with God, to come before God in repentance, but to also know the awesome presence of God. And to have God as the central point right in their camp. And they would camp all around. But God, there in the tabernacle, taking up his dwelling place in the tabernacle, was front and central to all the children of Israel and where they were. And in order to achieve that, they brought willingly this offering to God. And so God today wants us to bring an offering willingly. Not with your hand twisted behind your back, not grudgingly, not out of a sense of duty. I suppose I'm a serving member of this church. I ought to contribute something. But to bring our offering willingly to God, out of thankfulness for all that he has done, out of thankfulness for the precious work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, who died in order to save us, in order that we might know what it is to be with Christ, even today. Yes, I'll be with Christ one day when I see him face to face. What a glorious day that will be. But to know in reality today the presence of Jesus, to be united with Christ as having my sins completely forgiven by his precious work on the cross. And that's what the children of Israel knew. By bringing the offering, a suitable offering, they could know something of the presence of God among them. For us, it's the other way around. The children of Israel, they brought their offering in order to know something of that union with God, to know something of the favor of God upon them, to know something of the presence of God. But as Christians, because we come in the light of all that Christ has done, he's done it all. He made the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice that none of us could make. And this is where today it's absolutely important that the motivation for our giving comes from a grateful heart, comes from a heart that is full of thanksgiving for who God is, for all that he has done in my life. And so that's the prompt, that's the motivation for us to give willingly. As I say, not through a sense of duty or guilt or any other reason, but to give willingly as God moves my heart, as God prompts my heart. And you know, that means that we need to be listening to him. As I said earlier, this is not just about the 10% of your earnings, your income, that you cream off the top. Well, I know that's God's anyway. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's not about 10%. I don't see any basis in the New Testament for preaching on the principle of a 10% tithe, because all that we have belongs to God. It's all his anyway. But he calls us to willingly, freely give as he prompts our hearts, as he calls us to individually. And as I say, it's so important that we learn to discern. How is God prompting me today? As I've mentioned already, and I'm not doing this to make a financial appeal necessarily, but the machine will be out there. And I spoke to Jackie earlier today, and we give through monthly giving, through direct debit, standing order, whatever it is these days. And I felt challenged just as preparing for this sermon. That it's very easy, it's very handy to give by monthly standing order or whatever it may be, but it's very easy to say, well, that's sorted, that's done. Don't need to worry about that. It'll automatically come out the day after payday. And I felt prompted that this morning that we should give something in addition to this as God moves our heart. And I don't want to put that on any one of you. I'm just trying to be practical. What does this look like? Because what we don't want to do here, and it's borne out by this chapter 35 of Exodus, what we don't want to do is just have this automatic, it's over there, it's done, it's sorted by a standing order, it happens regularly. What God did with his people, what he commanded his people is, as I prompt you, as I move your heart, then so willingly, freely bring this offering. Now, the easiest way to apply this is through our financial giving. I've spoken of that. in thanks for all that Jesus has done, the precious Lamb of God, all that he's brought us into, in thankful response to willingly give to the work of the church. But there are other ways of giving as well, by using your talents, your gifting, your time, the other resources that God may have given you. A gifting may be with children. And so one way that you can bring this free will giving is to serve with our children's clubs on a Sunday or on a Friday evening. Maybe you have abilities with practical DIY and that sort of stuff. Yeah, it's not me. But there are some of you out here, and maybe you can use that ability and the gifting that God has given you to give to the church willingly, freely, as the Lord moves your heart. Maybe it's cooking for a family in your small and local group who's maybe struggling at the moment, or maybe it's cooking some extra food when you make your dinner to do an extra couple of portions to put in the freezer for those that might need it from time to time in church. All these practical ways that we can respond to God in affection. It's as God moves our hearts, it involves my affections. And I'm not going to go down that route and say, how much do you love God? Because it'll be reflected in your giving. But it's our affections that are motivated, that are prompted here. It's not out of legalism. It's out of our love for God, for all that he has done, to willingly respond and give. For this church, for the work of the ministries of this church, and the wider church as well, but all for the glory of God. Remember the words of David when he presented everything that he'd prepared for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. It was David's longing to build this temple, and Nathan the prophet had to speak to him and say, it's not going to be you, it's going to be your son. But David amassed everything, he collected everything together, he got everything prepared, and it was all presented ready for this great, amazing building project. And when David prayed, he effectively said, all this, and it was thousands of talents of gold and silver and all the other things that were given. And David effectively said, all this, God, belongs to you anyway. We're giving you what already belongs to you. And that, I want to go back to what I said in connection with that we think about, sometimes we think about the 10% that we cream off the top of our bank account or the day after payday. No, 100% of what is in your bank account belongs to God. In grace, he lets us use it to pay for our housing and our food and so on and so forth. But it all belongs to God, and we have to recognize whatever we give to God, it's come from him in the first place. It's his provision, because he is the God over all, blessed forever. Hallelujah. And so when we respond to him in this way, under the principle of Exodus 35, we're responding to God what belongs to him in the first place. But our affections are drawn out by him, and so we willingly give to him, give for his work, as he prompts our hearts. As I've said, this is more than just financial giving. Financial giving is important. I'm not playing that down. But whatever God prompts your heart to do, are you ready to do it, to give it, for the glory of his name? Let me just say this in closing. I heard this many years ago, and it's remained with me, that we cannot outgive God. You may have a lovely fat bank account that you can take a slice of 50% and give that to the church. You may have a lovely home that you can devote to using for entertaining God's people and those who come to the church on a regular basis, day after day after day. But no matter how much you can give, you cannot outgive God, who gave his own precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that we might not die, so that we might not spend eternity in hell, but that we might have an eternity that is bright, that has a hope, an eternity that is with Christ. And I believe what God, certainly what is prompting me today, what is laying upon me today, is as he moves our hearts, should we not respond to that giving of God? Should we not give out of something of the overflow of what he has given us back to him for all that he has given us through the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ? And sometimes through circumstances that you might go through, it might not just be through the overflow. Sometimes it might be a little bit painful. I'm not asking anybody to go into debt. Absolutely not. But what God has given us, let's use it for his glory. Let's respond willingly with hearts that are moved by him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for all that you have given from your own side. We thank you for the precious, precious work of Jesus. When he hung there on that cross 2,000 years ago to pay my debt. And I pray, O God, would our hearts be moved, prompted by your Holy Spirit, to give according to your leading, your direction. As an act of thanksgiving, as an act of acknowledgement that it all belongs to you in the first place. But may we willingly give to you in whatever way you are prompting here today, so that the work of this church and the work of the wider church also can continue to the glory of your great name. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.